It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read that section on the Church of Sardis from verse 1 through verse 6. So please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to write to us, you would welcome to do that at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Or if you'd like to call, our phone number is 217-847-2717. And so please feel free to contact us if you would like. And I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you today for this opportunity to come together and to enjoy this study. It is so wonderful to open your precious word and to look to your word, because it is truth, only truth that's found in this whole world. And so we just thank you for it, dear Father, that we're able to have it and possess it ourselves. And so please that you will guide and lead us through this study today as we continue to look at this church of Sardis. And it has a lot for us to learn and to see. We need to be watchful and be diligent. And so please guide and lead us. Touch every one of our hearts, whether it's for growth and to be closer to the Lord Jesus and have his power and strength, or, dear Father, that the person that's listening, maybe they don't know you as their personal Savior. They have not been saved, not been born again. So please today that they would trust in you as their Savior. Come to the cross of Calvary where, dear Father, your Son died for our sins, took our sins away, gave us salvation, gave us peace and joy and victory. And so please, dear Father, help all that are listening today to find that, to see that. And I know your Holy Spirit is the one that will draw them and bring them to that place of decision. I just hope they make the right decision. Please, dear Lord, now guide and lead us as we have this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, glad that you were able to join us today. And we will begin now and or continue now with this study in Revelation chapter 3. We have gotten down through to the third verse and the second verse there. And just a little bit of review can help us to see some things. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. This poor little church was just about done in. It had all the trials and tribulation that it could sustain, and it was just about finished. And we know that that each day, you know, we face some trials and some very difficult times from time to time, and we sure need to see that we're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for his strength and for his power, and we need to depend upon him each day. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't have that option. You don't have that opportunity. The folks that we're talking to here, that the Lord Jesus is speaking to here, they are very weak, and they are told to just please watch. and strengthen the things, because you're close to dying. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. They were getting weaker and weaker. And so many churches today have done the same thing. They have left the Word of God. And they started out with maybe most of the folks were saved or born again. But then the preaching was softened because people didn't like to hear that and didn't like to be convicted of their sin. And so things begin to change and begin to weaken. And that's what's happening here to this church of Sardis. Now, look at verse 3. It says, "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." There's a very sad statement. It says, "Remember." Now, we find back in the second chapter, verse 5, with the church of Ephesus, it says, "Remember." And now here in the church of Sardis, we have that same word. We have "remember" in the third verse. But we see that it is so important, because back in the fifth verse, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works." They had lost their first love. Well, you see here, they were just hanging on by a string, just by a light little cord, and they were just about to drop off, or they felt like it was about to break. And so we are told once again to remember. We're going to get far enough away from the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord that there's not going to be anything to remember. I hope that you don't get to that place. I hope that doesn't happen to you, that you get so far away that you don't remember. Maybe no one remembers what it's like to be born again. I hope that that's not the case in your life or your family's life or your church family's life, that it's been so long since that someone was saved, that someone came in with new life and was excited about studying the Word of God and looking to the Word of God. If you haven't experienced that for a long time, maybe you never have. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about, and you don't have anything to remember. It's kind of like Lord's Supper. When we have the Lord's Supper, why we're to do this in remembrance. I remember the cross of Calvary, and remember the day we got saved, because that's where we meet the Lord Jesus at Calvary, and how he died and how he suffered for us. Remember. Well, here, it sure begins there. It begins with salvation, and then we just need to remember as we walk with him each and every day. Hold fast. Repent. Repent. That word repentance is there. Turn back to me is what he's asking them to do before it's too late. Watch. If you do not remember, please repent and watch. Jesus is going to come as a thief and judge them. You see, if that doesn't come back to their mind, if they don't repent, if they don't watch, Jesus is going to come. And he's going to judge them just like a thief in the middle of the night. Unless they repent, he will come to them as a judge. They will not have any idea. They'll be not aware of the time. They won't be looking for him. He won't be expected, but he will come. I'm afraid today that most Protestantism, the Reformation, when Martin Luther left the Catholic Church, that was the opening of the door for people to see the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and to understand it, and to begin to get saved. But very quickly, he moved right back into tradition and the ways, and the Protestant churches have done the same. I'm afraid that the Protestant churches today, as a whole, and the world have come together. They're under the same terms. A great majority of church members today find much more pleasure in the world than in Bible study. The church and the world are walking so close together. the world hasn't improved, that means the church has fallen. So the church will have to face the same judgment as the world. Now, when I say church, I'm not talking about born-again believers, because truthfully, according to the Word of God, that term church is only born-again believers. But we, through the years, have used the term church that can be used for any cult or any group of people that get together and have very little to do with the Word of God and standing on the Word of God. So please, that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can become a child of God. We become brothers and sisters together in Christ. And please that you trust in Jesus today. Call upon Him to take your sins away. And don't fall into this liberal world church that we have taking place and the example we have here in the Church of Sardis. And so again, I repeat, the world has not improved. The world has gotten more wicked. Well, if the church has become more like the world, then the church has fallen, and it will suffer. And what's going to happen is, as a thief in the night, the end of that church will be a devastating judgment from Him who is the head of the true church, and that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to ask the Lord Jesus to guide and to lead you. The small little remnant that's left, we have, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. A few names left. Very few. Just this small little remnant in Sardis who has bore the fruit of the Spirit, were very, very weak, but were still there. They're just kind of like a starving child. They needed the fellowship. They needed the power of God, and it was there. But the enemy, the enemy of the church, and we sure seem to have it growing and strengthening today, the enemies of the church, they hate the truth. They hate the Word of God. They hate somebody says that I am a born-again believer, or they just don't understand it. Oh, I'm born again. You know, I ask Jesus into my heart every morning. No, you do it once. If the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, you call upon the Lord Jesus. He will come into your heart, and He will save you. There has always been a true remnant upon this earth, and there will always be until the day of the rapture. Let me just give you just a quick little calendar of events here so that you understand if you're not familiar with what's to come. We are in the church age right now, the whosoever age. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so what an opportunity you have to come by faith to Jesus right now. There's never been a time since time began 6,000 years ago that has ever had such an opportunity to come by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit to convict your heart, and you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Never has that time been so available as it is today. But the church age will end. And when the church age ends, it will end with the removal of the church. And that could take people out of almost every church somehow or other. Even though the gospel had not been preached, they may have heard the gospel through this radio program or some other means, someone else come through, and it may be in a very early age, and they trusted in Jesus, and then they made the mistake of going back to their home church and sat there followed after the doctrines and the traditions of that church all of their life and just suffered, and as we were talking about the Church of Sardis, almost to the point of starvation. And that's what happens to a believer that's not fed. And so we love Bible study. We study the Word of God, and we just enjoy it so much. And I hope that you have a church, that your church, you're studying the Word of God, enjoying it each and every day. I just hope that you have that. And if not, I just ask that you find a church that will teach you the truth, the Word of God. Use the Bible. Don't use a quarterly to study the Word of God. Use the Bible. Open it up. Study it. Read it. Enjoy it. And so we have the next event is going to be the church age, and is today. The next event is the rapture of the church. The true church is taken out, and the tribulation begins. And there will be a seven-year time of the most awful time on this earth. That's 7 years of tribulation. So at the very beginning of that tribulation period, there will not be a remnant. Now, there will be folks that begin to get saved. There's going to be 144,000 witnesses of the gospel, of the true gospel, to reach the lost. And so that will take place. But only that short little period will there be a time that there is not a remnant upon this earth. It is between the time that the church leaves and goes into the presence of the Lord, and we'll have that period, and then that short section there where there will not be one single witness here upon this earth. What a horrible time that's going to be. You know, we have in this fourth verse, it says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which are not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." We have in the days of Noah, and we have in the days of Lot, and we know that so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall appear. And so we are looking for his return very shortly. And when we look at verses of this and how weak the church had become, it is such an example of today. We are in the church age of the Laodicean church right now, the seventh church. But we are much like this in a lot of cases. Those that are still born again, still preaching the gospel, are so weak and just barely alive and hanging on. I hope that this ministry with the radio helps. I want you to know the Word of God. I want you to study it. I want you to be strengthened by it. The days of Noah. That was such an awful day, such a wicked day, that there were only 8 souls that were left. In the day of, and that was a world judgment. The water, the flood waters covered every inch of this earth, and only those that were in the ark were saved. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. 8 is all that was saved. This whole world was so wicked. In the days of Lot, it wasn't a worldwide judgment. It was an area, a local judgment upon the cities of the valley. And at that time, there was only 3 that was taken out, and the rest were destroyed. We need to understand that we are coming close to the time of the Lord Jesus' return. We need to understand that we're much like the Church of Sardis. We're just barely hanging on. Now, we have the power of God, and so I ask that you call for him, for his power and strength, if you're born again. Maybe because one reason you're so weak is because you're in the wrong church. Find a church that preaches the gospel, and don't look for one to have big numbers. Don't drive by the church and say, well, there's not very many cars there, so there must not be anything going on there. In truth, there may be something very great going on there, because they have stayed true to the truth. I don't know. Check it out. Find out. Check and see what their doctrine is and what they're preaching and how they're standing. Many look for a great revival before he returns. We didn't have it in Noah's day. We didn't have it in Lot's day. I don't believe the Word tells us we're going to have it in our day. Many think that there's going to be a great recalling before the final days. I don't see that. I don't see it in the Word of God. I hope I'm mistaken. The growing churches today, as the Church of Sardis, it was a growing church, not in power and strength. They had a name, but they were dead, living but are dead. And that's the way the church is today. Oh, I'm just appalled by the activities that go on in most churches today. We need to get down to the Word of God. We don't need to have all these youth groups and all the activities that go with that. My dear friend, if you'll follow after those youth, most of them do not know the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Search the Word of God. The Word of God asks, there's a statement here, when Jesus returns to this earth, will he find faith? Going to be much like Noah's day, much like Lot's day, much like this church of Sardis, I'm sad to say. We need to be very aware and beware of the false prophets. This scripture says a few names, very few, who were really alive, really born again. The few that were born again had the sweet promise, had the promise of the Word of God, that once you trust in Jesus, you are saved. Thou hast a few names, a few names. What are they promised? They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What a wonderful promise. Look at verse 4. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They are worthy. They are overcomers. Genuinely saved, born-again believers. Nowhere in the Scripture does one work for salvation. Rewards, work, pleases our God. But salvation is a gift from Him, nothing that we can work for. We have many professors, many say they know Jesus. But we need to know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to be an overcomer. The only way we can be an overcomer is if we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I've got some verses of Scripture here that I'd like to take a look at. Let's look at 1 John. That's not far from the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. You can hear my pages, so I know that you'll have time to find them as well. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 2 through verse 4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Overcomer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians. I hope you know your Bible. I hope the pages are worn from you studying your precious word. Ephesians chapter 4, the 30th verse. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and hope of glory. Romans chapter 8. Acts. Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Go to verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Powerful message there in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. We are overcomers again by the blood of Christ, and only that. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and his angels are the promises that we get as we stand with the Lord Jesus. Again, an overcomer is not one that works and works and works and works and works and thinks, okay, now maybe I'm going to be able to go to heaven. It is one that is a possessor. A possessor is one who overcomes by the blood of Christ. That's the only way. Never does a person overcome or become a possessor of eternal life or be a child of God by his own strength. Only through and by the blood of Jesus. Wonderful terms here. This is we just read in Romans chapter 8. Let's take a little time to think about that, to blot out. Blot out will not be blotted out of the book of life. The book of life, we know in Revelation that there is, and we'll get to that. It's going to be many, many months yet before we get that far. But we will get to the place in Revelation where it speaks of the book and the books. The book and the books. There is a single book, and that book is the book that records for us. The single book is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. The books are recording a recording of everything that you have done, good, bad, indifferent. Everything is written there. Now, when a child of God, the books are not opened. That is for the lost. The book is opened. That's for the saved. Now, to show how fair God is and how righteous God is, he looks in the book of life to see that your name is not written there. The name, your name must be written in the Lamb's book of life. We have a couple of other books that can help you understand, because the first is Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, the book of the generations of Adam. And there's another book here that we're going to take a look at, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. The book of the generations is kind of a different expression here. In connection with Adam, all that are listed in that book, it is a book of death. In the connection with Jesus Christ, it is the book of life. Book of death, book of life. You see, we are all born of Adam. Are you born again of Jesus Christ to go from the book of death to the book of life? The book of life. Is your name written there? You will not lose your salvation. John chapter 10, verse 28 tells us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Your name must be written in the Lamb's book of life. Please, How does it get there? Trust in Jesus today. Call upon Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?